thing. I'm telling you what, some of the things that you're facing right now are out of your hands, but they're in God's hands. Amen. And you can trust them. You can trust them. That's I appreciate that, ladies. Wow, that was really good. Numbers chapter 34 this morning. Numbers chapter number 34. We're almost to the promised land. We're almost there. Numbers chapter 34, when you find your place, I'll have you stand. We'll read a few verses and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Once again, in the book of Numbers chapter 34, a very peculiar chapter, to say the least. Well, let's begin reading here in verse number 1 here. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall unto you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan with the coasts thereof. Then your south quarter shall be from the wilderness of Zin along by the coast of Edom, and your south border shall be the outermost coast of the salt sea eastward. And your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akrabim and pass on to Zin, and the going forth thereof shall be from the south to Kadesh Barnea, and shall go to Hazar Adar and pass on to Asmon." First when I read that, I thought it said Amazon, but it was Asmon. I'm like, oh, that's where it's at. Verse 5 says, "And the border shall fetch a compass from Asmon unto the river of Egypt, and the goings out of it shall be at the sea. As for the western border, ye shall even have the great sea for a border. This shall be your west border. And this shall be your north border. From the great sea ye shall point out from you Mount Hor. From Mount Hor ye shall point out your border unto the entrance of Hamath. And the goings forth of the border shall be to Zedad. And the border shall go on to Ziphron. And the goings out of it shall be at Hazar Enon. This shall be your north border. Ye shall point out your east border from Hazar Enon to Shepham. And the coast shall go down from Shepham to Riblah on the east side of Ain," or however you say the word, Ain, Ain, however, whatever it is. "And the border shall descend and shall reach under the side of the sea of Chinnereth eastward. And the border shall go down to Jordan, and the goings out of it shall be at the salt sea. This shall be your land with the coast thereof round about. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, This is the land which ye shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give unto the nine tribes and to the half-tribe, for the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. The two tribes and the half-tribes have received their inheritance on this side Jordan near Jericho eastward toward the sun rising. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, These are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you, Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. And ye shall take one prince of every tribe to divide the land by inheritance." I'd like to ask my dad if he'd open us in prayer and ask the Lord for help this morning. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, it took a little bit of work to read the first however many verses. And then even as you finish the chapter, which we won't, I'll let you finish on your own time, you have all the sons of and the tribes of, so forth and so on. So I would say we would all agree that this chapter, while not too difficult, it's a bunch of places and a bunch of names. And you're like, okay, right? In my mind, of course, I've tried to read the chapter as many times as I could the last 30 days, and I have no idea how many times I read it. And I tried to locate the places in my mind geographically, and I know where the borders are at, so forth, on a map. But what I'm saying is the Lord takes an entire chapter and He devotes it to the borders of the Promised Land. And I'm not trying to overemphasize, could I say it like this, the simple historicity of the chapter. I'm not trying to overemphasize, but I think it's rather unique that the Lord gives an entire chapter just to borders. And the more I dwelt on it, the more I thought about it, I realized that the Lord had something for us about borders. I'm not talking about the borders of the United States, and I don't really care what you think about it. I'm glad we have them. Amen. Whether or not they all work is a different story, but I'm glad we have them, right? I'm glad that just, and I know it's a debatable thing. Well, anybody can just come in. Okay, well, you can't come in at all points. There might be some places they come through like a sieve, so forth and so on. But I think there's something for us here in the mindset of borders. And I'd like to take a second look spiritually at this thing about borders and how borders or fences, the Bible calls it later on landmarks, five different times in the Bible, four different times rather, landmarks. And I believe these things can help you and I as a Christian. And I believe if we look at them with the right mindset, not trying to take what applies to Israel, but rather take a look at it spiritually, I think it will help you and I stay safe, stay separated, and stay sanctified as a Christian. And I think this thing, and if you're going to put a bow on this thing or a title, it wouldn't be Head for the Border. I think that's Taco Bell or something like that. But it's because I would just say Better Because of Borders. Better Because of Borders. And so I'd like to try to preach, if I can today, on this thing, Better Because of Borders. Now, let me just jump right in here and say, as a Christian, I am better because of the borders. I am better because of the boundaries. I am better because of the fences that God has put in my life. And I know this as a child, I hated those boundaries many times. I did. I didn't hate all of them. I just hated most of them. You say, why? Were you just a particular evil child? Possibly, amen. But when your parents tell you you can do this, but you can't do that, there's something innately in our human nature that wants to gravitate towards what we're told we cannot do. In other words, our parents, what they do is they put up borders, don't they? You can go to the front yard, but don't you go across the street. And next thing you know, you're like, here's the street, and you're like, oh, I didn't drop dead. Maybe they're just kidding. And there's just something about you and me as individuals, as Christians. The Lord has given us borders. And I know what you're thinking. A lot of Christians think like this, well, I have liberty. I am so tired of hearing that phrase, liberty. You know what that means? That means when someone is always going on about how they have liberty, I believe it translates as this. A, I don't read my Bible. B, I have no idea the fences and the borders that God gave me. And C, I don't even care because I know the end destination. Let me tell you what, it makes a big deal how we operate within or without those boundaries that the Lord gave us. I'd like to try to do a little bit of preaching this morning. You pray for me. These kids have heard phenomenal preaching all week long, and it wasn't for me. And you just pray that the Lord will get this thing out. But let me just give you, first of all, number one, these borders were established with absolute necessity. These borders were established with absolute necessity. Look at verse 3. I'll just show them to you right in the passage. Verse 3, the Lord says, your south border shall be. There it is. There's the line in the sand, right? Your south border shall be. Now look at verse 6. As for the western border, and he's going to draw the line in the sand or in the water there, right? Look at verse 7. And this shall be your north border. And of course, verse 10. And ye shall point out your east border. Let me say this again. Borders are designed to keep desirable things in. And let me say it like this. Enhance your freedom. A lot of people look at borders as a negative thing, and even if you want to talk about it politically, which I don't care to, but the point is, we're like, well, you know, everyone should be allowed in. Yeah, the right way. There's a reason we have borders. The reason we have borders is so we can be a nation that's not attacked and wiped off the map. It's a miracle that we've literally lasted as long as we have as a nation. I mean, we can't ask God to bless us with what we're doing, but it's just a miracle that we're still a nation. And you say, what is it from? Well, borders are a helpful thing so that your enemies just can't come in. Now, look, there's enough people inside that are adversarial against us, but They're an absolute necessity to have borders. You've got to have borders in a country. You've got to have borders in a marriage. Amen? You've got to have boundaries in a marriage. You kiss. All right, you're married. Great. And the boundaries is to having to hold her only from this day forward and to having to hold him only. That's the boundary. Why? So you can be miserable all your life? Well, look, if you pick the wrong one, that's your problem. Amen? Pray for you. But the boundary is this, that your wife, that your husband stay within the boundaries of marriage. Amen? Not this open stuff, not this freaky stuff, not this weird stuff. There's the boundaries. One man, one woman. You know, man leaves his father and his mother, and he cleaves unto his wife. Borders are designed to keep desirable things in and enhance your freedom. Borders are designed to keep unwanted things out. And it's to keep you safe. You have the borders of the family. You say, well, what's that? Well, there's mom and there's dad. By the way, you have to go through this stuff in 2023. That is a man and a woman. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I know you know that. You say, why are you saying that? Just because we're Bible believers. We believe what the Bible says. I don't care what society thinks. I don't care if you can go down here to the courthouse and get a license to be a queer. That's what they call themselves, by the way. Doesn't matter. That's wrong. You say, well, it's legal. It's still wrong. You say, well, that means you hate the people. No, it doesn't mean that at all. I'm just telling you what the Bible says is wrong. Amen. And those boundaries is in the family, mom, dad, produce children. And if you can't have kids, you have lots of cats and dogs. Amen. Right? Not you personally, but you go get them. But anyways, the boundary is, here's the boundary according to the Bible. Wife, submit yourself unto your husband, right? Know what the Bible says? Or did I just write that Jeremy Evans version, you know, 115? No. Wife, submit yourself to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. And the husband does what? He loves his wife, right? Why? Jesus Christ is the head of the man. The man is the head of the woman. And the children fall under the umbrella of the parents. Those are the boundaries. Amen. That's the way it should be. That's the way God set it up. You can see, all in society, there's boundaries everywhere. If you have a job, there's boundaries. You're supposed to work 8 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours or whatever it is. You're supposed to, you know, maybe, you know, you get a break however many times. And if you're a smoker, then you just get a break every 15 minutes, I think. Right? I mean, if you smoke, it's just like, hey, look, I'm just on break around the clock. But anyways, there are certain boundaries to keep that company profitable. You know I'm telling the truth, that last one, amen? Yeah. So, true story, I used to work at McDonald's a long time ago in the galaxy far, far away. And people say, I need to have a cigarette. So they go out and have a cigarette. And so finally, I'm like, fooling on this one. I went over to my boss and says, I'm going to go have a secondhand smoke break. And they're like, Evans, you don't smoke. I says, no, but I'm going to go breathe the same. He said, why would you want to do that? I said, they're out every 15 minutes. Why can't I go? Amen. But there's boundaries in the job place. There's boundaries in the community. How about there's boundaries in owning a house? They go out there, they survey the property, right? And you get this from here to there, and you get from that stretch of land to here and here to there, and so forth and so on. So why do we have to lock our doors? Because people don't respect boundaries. People don't believe in borders. But let me tell you this morning that these borders that the Lord gave Israel were established with absolute necessity. Look at Deuteronomy. I'll give you about 3 or 4 verses here to show you historically what the Bible says about this stuff. Deuteronomy chapter 19. And you live in a country that wants open borders. I'm not necessarily talking about the land. I'm talking about in life. They want no boundaries. And let me tell you what, God gave you boundaries for a reason. God gave you borders. And it's my desire to try to show you that God gives us some fences. And Christians have the worst time with those things because they think it's always a negative. But God gave you that stuff. God gave you those boundaries, those borders to keep you safe. All right, too much hot air going from the pulpit, I guess, here. Deuteronomy chapter 19, look at verse 14. The Bible says, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark. which they of old time have set in thine inheritance. You see that? Which thou shalt inherit in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess. All right, you don't remove thy neighbor's landmark. Pretty simple, isn't it? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 27. This is all referring to what we're talking about in the book of Numbers, the necessity of borders. Numbers chapter 27, look at verse 17. The Bible says, 27:17, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, wow, oh, amen. So, according to the Old Testament law, which I understand we're under grace, but just because we're under grace doesn't mean God changed his mind about anything. It just means that we no longer use the law as a means for salvation. But he says here, he says, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, glory to God. You see that? Let me give you another one. I take your Bible, go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Boundaries are a necessity, the absolute necessity of boundaries. And most people, they don't have boundaries. They don't believe in boundaries. Why? They don't want anyone keeping them from doing something they think they want to do, even though someone said not to do it. Proverbs 22:28. The Bible says, Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Isn't that something? Remove not the ancient landmark. And isn't there a way, even in a practical sense, isn't there a way that Mama and Papa used to do things? Grandma and Grandpa used to do things? Just a way. You know what? It's a good idea to keep some of those things if they're clean. All this new fandangle way of doing stuff and just this new liberated, new groovy way of doing it. That's just ridiculous. A look at 23:10. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the folly. You get the point? You get the picture yet? God put those boundaries up there for a reason. You ever stop and think about the Bible where God put boundaries up? I think one of the first books of the Bible, Genesis, you have there 1, 2, and 3, he makes the earth, so forth and so on. In chapter 2, he makes man. Chapter 3, all of a sudden, yea, of God said, the devil shows up. You know what the boundary was for Adam and Eve? Don't go near the tree. They can do anything they wanted. I mean, here he was, Mr. Universe, and here she was. You know, she had Coke bottle figure, you know, amen. She was Miss Universe, and you know, perfect figure and fellowship with each other and fellowship with the Lord God every single day. And the only boundary is don't go by the tree. Don't go near the tree. Don't eat the tree. That was the only thing. That fence, that border was around the tree. Guess what they did? No, Bob cuts the trees down now. Inside story. Sorry about that. But they broke the borders, didn't they? There was one border they had. You can do whatever you want. Whatever you want. Living in absolute perfection, a sinless, I mean, good night. They knew everything from here to, you know, whatever. And it just destroyed the one border that God gave them. You think borders are important? You think when Cain and Abel came along and then Cain ended up doing what he did and killed his brother there, you think when he got the news that that Adam didn't say, I wish I would have honored the border? You think Eve stopped and thought, I wish I would have honored the border? I wish I would have stayed inside the fence. Well, not only Adam and Eve, but you think of another one. Another one I think of here is Esau. You know, God gave the border to Esau. The border for Esau was, you know what, boy, you need to take spiritual things seriously. The border is you need to take spiritual things seriously. Had to do with the birthright, the blessing. The only thing he needed to do was take spiritual things seriously. The only thing he didn't do was take spiritual things seriously. That was the border. Take spiritual things seriously. Esau was ready to be the absolute progenitor of that race, of that family, that spiritual progenitor. He says, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. And he just gave it away. What did he do? He broke down the fence. He ignored the borders. That's Esau. Adam and Eve, you got Esau. How about Achan? You know what Achan's border was? that he was aching for a little bit, and then he's dead. But when they're getting ready to, you know the story there, they go over to Jericho, around the walls of Jericho, right? Walk seven times. They go in there, and the walls fall in, right? And the walls came tumbling down, right? And so they go in there, and they, you know, they just whip the daylights out of them. Absolute amazing victory. There was one border that they had. You know what the fences were? Don't take a thing. It all belongs to God. You know what Achan did? Bible says he looked this way, he looked that way, and he took it. And he took that that wedge of gold and that Babylonian garment, and he hid it in his tent. He ignored the borders, he ignored the fence. You suppose when it was all said and done, and they gave him time after time after time to confess and repent and get right, and gave him chances and gave him chances, and finally Joshua's looking at him, and he's like, oh yeah, it was me. Because he finally got caught, right? And all of a sudden, you imagine when he hears the cries of his kids getting stoned and his wife getting her head beat in with stones and hears all the animals crying out and shrieking out for pain as they stone the entire family, plus the children, plus the wife, plus all the children, everything ahead, and then they burned it up. You suppose at one point in time, Achan might have said, I probably should have not crossed over the fence. There's a necessity for borders. God's given you borders for a reason, Christian. I think about old David there, man after God's own heart. Goes over there, he's in the, and he's tending the sheep just like his daddy told him to. And then he runs an errand for his daddy and leaves his sheep in the hand of a keeper and goes, you know the story there. Only a boy named David, only a little sling, only a boy named David, he could pray and sing. And he whips the giant. God's all over that boy. And he arises to the throne 33 or however many years later. And there was only one border that was on him. You know what that border was? You know what that fence was? Leave Uriah's wife alone. That's what it was. But he got tired of fighting, you know, like Christians do. They get tired of doing right. They get tired of standing for what's right. They get tired of going to church. They get tired of fighting the battle. They get tired of being a witness in the workplace. They get tired of putting up with their spouses. They get tired of putting up with their husband because they're idiots, you know. They get tired of putting up with their wives and all that. They get tired of doing the right thing and just kind of stop going to battle. Next thing you know, there's Bathsheba. And I don't have to go into detail. You know what that story goes, and it's absolute true. It's history. You suppose that when David got the news that his son was dead, I'm talking about Amnon. That was the first of four. You suppose when David got the news that Amnon was dead, well, that was the second one. The first one was the child of Bathsheba died. And then Amnon, he got killed. And then later on it'd be Absalom. Another family named Amasa. You suppose every time that thing come around, David would go, man, I sure wish I'd went to battle and stayed in bounds. He got out of bounds. I'm telling you this morning, there's something in this chapter about boundaries. God devotes an entire chapter. You know what? There's boundaries in the Christian life. And you need to have boundaries. You need to have borders. You need to have fences. And kids, listen up. You need to stop kicking against those borders. You need to stop kicking against them fences. They're designed to protect you. But these borders are designed with absolute necessity. These borders, let me say this, they require an absolute authority. We're not just talking about the Baptist opinions. We don't care about Baptist opinion. This Baptist opinion is every evening after preaching, you go home and you watch NASCAR. I'm sure nobody shares that sentiment. Maybe one or two. With nachos. We're not talking about opinions. We're not talking about, well, that's just the way we always do it. I'm talking about it requires these borders, these boundaries, these fences that keep us safe. Amen? They keep us safe and they allow us to live a Christian life and enjoy the freedom that God intended us, just like He intended for Adam and Eve to live in that garden in absolute peace and harmony and fellowship with Jesus Christ. But it requires an absolute authority. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, these are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you. You say, who is that? It's Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun. These were the authoritative leaders of the nation of Israel. You say, that's great. That's to Israel. Who's our authorities? Well, in your life as a Christian, the Lord has given you absolute and authoritative leadership for your borders. You say, what is it? Well, first of all, it's your Bible. It's the authorized version, King James Bible, come right out of 1611. That's the fence. That's the boundaries. That's the borders. Its author is the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, if you look at that, you know who's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in that passage? It's Joshua. Right? Its author is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know who its teacher is? It's the Holy Spirit. And you know in that passage who's a type and picture of the Holy Spirit? It's that priest. Because the Holy Spirit is a picture of a teaching priest. It's the Holy Ghost that teacheth you. And that priest that God gave Israel was to teach the people what God wanted them to know. I'm telling you this morning, the major border that you have, that major fence that you have, is contained in the 66 books of the King James Bible. Those are the fences. The authority of the Bible. Its parameters are defined within its pages from Genesis to Revelation. Revelation for you proper scholars. And why you know and where the new Bibles come out, you know every single one of them is wrong because they remove, they revoke, and they redefine the borders that God gave you. NIV takes that thing and changes it in 60,000 places. You say we're Bible believers, why are you saying that? Oh, it's good information for you. But don't take my word for it. Go get it and read it and compare it. 60,000 places. Would you like them all? I'll give them every single one of you. 81 verses ripped out just like that. They remove the ancient landmarks. You say, is this about borders? Is this about the King James Bible? Amen, yes, and yes. Remove not the ancient landmarks. Remove not the old landmarks. You need those fences to keep you safe. You say, well, I really don't like anyone telling me what to do. Well, that's the whole thing. When the devil's up there before Genesis chapter 1, he's sitting there and in all his glory, the fifth cherub, and God says, you know what you need to do, Satan? You need to go to earth. You need to rule and reign that earth over all the angels there, so forth and so on. And you know, the devil said, I don't want to do it. And he said, but I do. I will set my throne over. And I will be like the Most High. He didn't like his borders. That's what got him in trouble. He didn't like to do what God told him to do. God gave him the fences. God gave him the borders. God gave him the boundaries. And the devil said, no, I ain't going to do it. So that's why when he comes through here on the tribulation and we're raptured out of here, that's why he comes here and he sets himself up as God. Because that's what he really wanted to do in the first place. Because he didn't like the borders that God gave him. So those borders, they given with absolute necessity. They require an absolute authority, and that authority is the authority of the Bible. I'll give you this one. It's not only the authority of the Bible, but the authority of the local church. You realize if you're here today and you're saved, and you're a member of this church, you just represent a part of the saved membership of the universal body of Christ. This is just a local representation. And God, when you involve yourself in a local church, you know what you do? You give yourself credibility. Because this is the vehicle that God uses. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Let me tell you what, when it comes to the life of a Christian, if it's not local church, it is not right. I'm speaking on God's behalf this morning. I'm not speaking on my own agenda. I'm telling you, in your life, if it's not local church, it's not right. Why? Because this is the vehicle that God uses. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. In the local church, its head and teacher is the pastor, not the deacon board, not the sheep, not some association, not a query of the members. Amen? And his preaching and teaching of sound doctrine from the authorized version King James Bible is what reinforces, it's what reveals, it's what repairs, and it's what it realigns the borders and the fences for every Christian. You see that? Two things God gave you to discover your borders. Number one, your King James Bible. You read that book from cover to cover, including the maps. Those are the fences. And that's the authority of the Bible, and then you've got the authority of the local church. You see, that's how that thing works. And you have those two individuals. They're in verse number 17. These are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you. That's the authority. The authority is the Bible. You need the Bible. The reason you're out of bounds is because you don't read the Bible. The reason you're out of bounds in your Christian life is because you don't make a big deal about the local church. Now, I'm not trying to be hard on you, but I'm trying to be straight with you. God gave the children of Israel boundaries geographically, and the Holy Spirit, God the Father, gave us boundaries through this book right here, the authority of the Bible, the authority of the local church. And it's important for you. You say, yeah, but you don't understand, preacher. I got a lot going on. You're out of bounds. You're out of bounds. I'm trying to help you in your Christian life. Well, I just don't really think it yet. You know why you think that? Because you've neglected the authority of the Bible. You've removed the ancient landmarks. You removed the old landmarks, like the Bible says. You've inserted your landmarks where the borders used to be, and now you're out of bounds. At all aspects in the Christian life, we're not just talking about church attendance. We're not just talking about giving. We're talking about every aspect in the life of the believer where you remove the Bible, where you move the authority of the local church. You therefore insert your opinions and your landmarks, and you're out of bounds. And those boundaries were designed to keep you safe. Let me give you number three here. These borders now reveal an absolute responsibility to every Christian. We looked at its necessity. We looked at its authority. But let's look at its responsibility. You realize now the responsibility, once Joshua and once Eleazar divided that thing up, then the responsibility went to every prince of every tribe. Look at it real quick here. We're not going to read them all. Bible says in verse 18, you shall take one prince of every tribe to divide the land by inheritance. That was, he was to take every highest ranking member of that tribe. Makes sense, right? So whoever the highest ranking member is in your home, the one who is the head, was to make sure that thing got divided out properly. Does that make sense? Because that's how God works. God deals with households. Amen? God deals with household. When he looks at my house, he does look at us as individuals, but he deals with the Evans home, and he looks at, hey, bud, are you taking care of them the way you should? Are you loving them the way you should? Have you done what you should? If not, why not? He's dealing with me. But notice this. You shall take one prince of every tribe. You say, whew, oh, that's not me. I'm not a prince. Hold the phone. You know, that Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verse 31, Bible says, him have God exalted with his right hand, talking about Jesus Christ, to be a prince and a savior. You saying the Bible says that Jesus Christ is a prince? Sure is. Let me give you two things that tie you into this prince. Ready? When you trust Jesus Christ as your savior, you become one with Christ. You're in Jesus Christ. That makes you a part of Christ. That makes you a part of the prince. It applies that way. Not only that, but if Jesus Christ is your brother, that makes you a prince too. You see it? If God is your heavenly father and your brother is Jesus Christ, right? That makes you a prince. It fits either way. You're a prince. You're a prince. All right, Jesus Christ is a prince, and in Christ you are too. And as a prince, as a child of God, you are to hold the borders of your Christian life. Do you see the application? Ye shall take one prince of every tribe. All right? And so that thing comes down from God himself, comes down from God to Moses, and then it comes down through Joshua and Eleazar, right to the princes which took responsibility of their tribe. Let me say this. You need to take responsibility where you're at. You need to take responsibility if you're the head of the home. You need to take responsibility if no matter what you are in your personal fellowship with Jesus Christ to make sure you maintain those borders, you maintain those boundaries, you maintain those fences. And the only way you're going to know what those fences are is two ways. You're going to learn them by reading it and submit yourself to preaching. That's the way you're going to find out the fences. And that's why some people get upset, because the preacher gets a preaching and he reveals the fact through the King James Bible that you're out of bounds. And when you're out of bounds, you got two choices. Number one, go, busted. Turn around and get inbounds. It reveals the broken fence. Then you repair the broken fence and you revitalize it, or you just keep going your own way. That's what you can do. You could walk out of this church house and say, well, that was a pretty little good speech on Numbers chapter 34. And I'm sure glad we're not in the Old Testament anymore. I'm sure glad we're not in the... Yeah, but you've got a book in your lap full of boundaries and fences. And God expects you and I to keep them up. Why? For our safety. For our separation and for our sanctification. Let me give you one final thing here, a quick message here this morning just about borders. These are borders, not only are they of necessity, not only do they require absolute authority, they now reveal to you and I and to every person here an absolute responsibility. You've got to be responsible with those borders. It's not up to me. It's up to you. If you're in Jesus Christ, you have to discover those boundaries through the Word of God and through the local church. But finally, I want you to notice these borders require an absolute sonship. Look at verses 19 through 28. I read this passage and I read this last part over and I look at that thing and going, Lord, you have a sense of humor. Names. Oh, yes, I know the Lord's interested in everyone's name and everyone's names written down. And so, but then I got looking at that thing a little bit more, and I'm not trying to overemphasize it, but look at it. Absolute sonship. It has two things listed. Three. First of all, they're a prince. Second of all, they're a son. And third of all, they belong to somebody. You see it? And it shows me it requires absolute sonship. That means you can't fake it. That means if you're not the right son, this doesn't apply to you. Is that sinking in yet? If you are not the right son who is in the right family, you can walk out of here, go to the China buffet, and just say, that guy's an idiot. It requires absolute sonship. I'm telling you, you have to be the right son and you have to be in the right family for these boundaries and fences to apply to you. Because if you're not the right son and you're not in the right family, guess what? You have no boundaries. Then you are your own fence. You have your own borders. You've heard it said before, well, don't do anything I wouldn't do. And your response is, well, that's pretty much anything then. That's someone who's in the wrong family. Don't mistake this for a legalistic message. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you on things right now, it's not because I said them. I'm talking about the importance of boundaries, the importance of fences, doctrinal boundaries. Personal boundaries. Where am I going to get those? The Word of God. Family boundaries. Word of God. Boundaries at work. The Word of God. Boundaries with the brethren. Local church. Word of God. Are you in the right family this morning? It's real simple. You're either in the family of God or you're a child of disobedience, Paul says. Your father is either God the Father, or as Jesus Christ said to the religious, church-attending Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of the Father you will do. So I ask you this morning, are you in the right family? Because if you're not in the right family, you ain't got to worry about these boundaries. You can just go out of here and do whatever you want to do. You got liberty. Ain't that something? When I was a kid growing up, if I went somewhere, you know what that old man said? He says, I want you back this time. He says, don't you only go here, and don't you go anywhere but here. And if you hear my shrill whistle, boy, you better get back fast. He said, what was that? Boundaries. Fences. Are you in the right family this morning? Do you have the right father? Is God your father this morning? How about this? You say, yeah, preacher, I'm in the right family. I'm saved, sanctified, separated, all the rest of the S's with it. Amen. So let me close with this. Are you the right type of son? You say, yeah, I'm the right type. I'm in the right family. I have the right father. And I got it all right. I got the right Bible. I got the right church. I know God wants me here. All right. Are you the right type of son? Are there any fences that you need to mend? Are there any borders, any boundaries that the Holy Spirit revealed to you today during this preaching that you need to maybe get out the old fence? Remember fence bangers, you know? Killed your hands. Bang, bang, bang. Put the barbed wire back up. Why? Well, you took it down. You were mad one day and you clipped it and ventured off and got in trouble. And now the Holy Spirit says, there it is. It's supposed to be back there. And you're over here. You better get back in bounds. Why? Let me tell you what. You take them fences down, you're going to let stuff in. Bible says, the man that hath no rule over his own spirit, like a city broken down without walls. Walls and boundaries and borders and fences are the most important thing during these times. We're lazy now as Americans because we expect Johnny Law to do everything for us. But in the old days, you know, walls around your property, walls around everything. How is it? You in the right family this morning? Simple message, ain't it? Boundaries are important, Christian. Stop looking at the doctrines of the Bible. Stop looking at the Bible as a bunch of rules and regulations that, oh, we just got to know the preacher gets them those. Oh, we need to do this. Let me tell you, they're designed to protect you and keep you safe. And let me tell you what, I know this as long as I've been living on this earth 48 years. If you're out of bounds, you are not truly happy. Oh, there's pleasure of sin for a season. But after that season wears off and you begin to reap the harvest that sin begins to set into your life, you're not happy. And the Lord's just sitting there like the Father over there in Luke chapter 15 going, come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. You say, why? Why do I got to come home? Well, you broke the fence on the way out. And maybe it's just time to fix the fence. Come back in and evaluate what type of son you really are. As the children of Israel near the promised land, the borders that the children of Israel will have will keep them safe and provide freedom for them for generations. And Christian, as we walk through this world, the Lord wants us to realize that the borders that He has given to us in many cases, our borders, our boundaries are not right. Many Christians are out of bounds. As the pianist comes to the piano or the organ or whatever it is, maybe this morning you'd like to consider the borders that Christ has given to you. And finally, would you be willing to consider whether or not these borders even apply to you? Because if you're not in the right family, you're like, oh, okay, we're safe. Another speech that he made that doesn't apply to me. And finally, do you have the right father? Are you in the right family? And are you the right son? As she begins to play this morning, I'd just like to open the altar. And maybe you'd like to come talk to the Lord just about your borders. How's your fences this morning? You need to mend some fences. You need to reveal some fences that have been trodden under. You need to maybe repair some fences that you tore down when you got upset. You got careless. Didn't think anybody would notice. Didn't think anybody would care. Didn't think the Lord would care. Maybe it's just time just to reevaluate. Where are the borders at? Do I even have borders as a Christian? Do I have boundaries? And are they the boundaries of the Bible? Are they the boundaries of the local church where they follow the Bible? Just come mend some fences this morning. Ask the Lord, are these fences in the right place? Am I outside the fence? Am I safe, Lord? Am I doing what you want? Am I the right type of son?